Maseches Avodah Zarah opens with a very, very long, fascinating Agadah. Within 20 lines, the Gemara starts with opening Mishnah, a little bit about the proper spelling of the one of the first words in the opening Mishnah, and then the Gemara heads into around three and a half blot of Agadah. And towards the beginning of that, the Gemara, the opening topic, Maseches Avodah Zarah, not surprisingly, the Agadahs talk about Nachrim. I think they say the name of Rav Kook. They say in the name of Rav Kook that just like most of the halachic sugyas in any given Masechta will relate to whatever the topic of the Masechta is. Gittin has all sorts of side topics, but primarily the halachic sugyas are about Gerushin and Get and Shtar. So too, Rav Kook said that if you appreciate the Agadahs in Masechta, they generally tend to relate mostly also to the topic, the Agadah, the Machshava of that topic. It's not surprising that the opening Agadahs have a lot to do with Nachrim and relationships between Nachrim and Jews and the contrast between Nachrim and Jews. But within that, Chazal are endlessly rich. So within a Agadah about Nachrim Limos HaMashiach, I think there lies something that's relevant for us now. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says the Lashon Lava Kadosh Baruch Hu is there's gonna be a final din v'cheshbon. And the Gemara describes on Beis and Beis and Maseches Avodah Zarah that the Nachrim line up by nation. And the Romans go in first, and the Persians go in second, and the other nations show up. And the Romans make an argument that all the work that we did in empire building, Harbi Shavakim Tikninu, we developed marketplaces, we developed bathhouses, we amassed capital, Harbi Kesef Azavir Binu, it was all Bishul Yisrael Kishis Asku B'Torah. All the advances of the Roman Empire were to enable Jews to learn Torah. And then the Persians come in afterwards, and they make a similar argument. The Persians say, we built all these bridges, and we conquered territory, we went to war. It was all Bishul Yisrael Kishis Asku B'Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to each group, Shotim Shavolo, you fools! You're the world's fool. I know what you were doing. You weren't doing this with Shuli Yisrael Sheis Asku B'Torah. You were doing it for yourselves. You wanted a Shvakim, you wanted marketplaces in order to have a marketplace, a market for vice, for Zonos. Yeah, you built, you advanced hygiene, you built bathhouses just to have a good time. The money, you just wanted to be wealthy. This wasn't Shuli Yisrael Sheis Asku B'Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu shuts it down. The Persians say Kadosh Baruch Hu shuts it down. What does that mean? It's a brisker rav. The opening brisker rav in Chumash, in the Sefer in Chumash, not the stencils, the actual Sefer from the brisker rav, just like on Gemara and Rambam, there's the black Sefer from the brisker rav himself, and then there are the stencils, the sheer notes. The same is true with Chumash also. They're the stencils, which are sheer notes on Chumash. And then there's the actual Chidushim and Rizalevi on Chumash. In the actual Chibur from the Brisker Rav on Chumash, the very first piece he discusses Gemara. This is a really bizarre Gemara. Not actually, they think they're going to lie to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Does anyone believe for a moment that their angle was, if you know anything about Roman history, they were not doing it in order to advance the cause of Jewish Talmud Torah. Neither in the pagan part of Roman history, nor in the Christian part of Roman history. Post-Constantine, pre-Constantine, you couldn't convince a human being of that. So you're not going to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu of that. This is Lasid Lavo. Lasid Lavo. Mal Arz Deyas Hashem Kumar Liyam Machasim. Who's trying to dupe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The whole Gemara is bizarre. So Brisker says something gorgeous. He says the Gemara didn't say that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu called them liars. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called them fools. Why fools? Liars. Shakrotnim. He says, apparently, it's not Shek. It's true. In the Lasid Lavo, we'll see how B'shul Yisrael Shnikarashis, B'shul Torah Shnikarashis, whatever they did,
ultimately, in the very long arc of history, ended up moving Jewish history forward, moving Torah forward. It's true. That was, they did accomplish that. It was Bishlei Yisrael Sheis Haskei B'Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say you're lying. They're telling the truth. And they will, at that point, have recognized that truth. But Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you fools, that's not what you had in mind. He says, you intended, Kadosh Baruch Hu's comeback is not you didn't do that, it's you didn't do it with that intent. You just intended in amassing capital to feel wealthy and powerful. You didn't intend to thereby move forward the cause of Talmud Torah. You intended just for your own pleasure. You intended just for your own ego. You did accomplish great things, but that wasn't your intent. That's what the brisker has to open, brisker up, and chumash.
If you think about it, it means that this Gemara is a mucker. Often when we learn Rambam, you're wondering what's his mucker, everything, particularly Mishnah Torah, as though he's always quoting from he's quoting some source or another in Chazal. A Mishnah, Tosefta, Bavi, Rishalmi, Sefras, Sefrei, Mechilta, what's he quoting? So we began, last time we learned Shmona Prakim, we began to explore the fifth parak of the Shmona Prakim, which corresponds to the third parak of the Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Deis. We begin to develop this idea of Bechol Derachecha Da'ehu, a pasuk that he highlights in a pasuk in Mishlei. He doesn't highlight here, but he does highlight it. I'm sorry, he does highlight here also. The end of the parak. At the end of the parak, he talks about that pasuk in Mishlei. To know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your ways means that not only when you do something that's an overt mitzvah, I sit and learn Torah, I daven, I give tzedakah to an ani, I smile at a person who's feeling down, I shake a lulav, hashavas aveda. Those are things which are overt ma'aseh mitzvah. You do the ma'aseh mitzvah, you mekayem mitzvah. Rambam says, but how about all the neutral activities in my life? And that's not an aveira, that's not a mitzvah. I ate kosher food. Okay, so I said a bracha. So the bracha was a mitzvah. Oh, but then I eat. The eating is not, it's not an aveira. It's not a mitzvah, just eating. Not eating on Yom Tif. Eating on Yom Tif, Suma Yom Tif is a mitzvah, inherently. Eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah, inherently. On the other hand, eating something treif, an aveira. But stop. It's a Sunday morning, and I'm having kosher food, neutral. It's a Sunday afternoon, I'm playing ball with friends. It's a Sunday night, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to work, playing with my kids, going to sleep, schmoozing with friends. Not a mitzvah, not there, just neutral. So what is it? So maybe it's just, I don't know, missed opportunity cost. You couldn't have done a mitzvah. But Hashem, you didn't do out there, you couldn't have done a mitzvah. Is that all it is, just neutral? So what does Rambam say? We saw at the beginning of this idea in the beginning of Parak Hamishi. He says, well, it could be a mitzvah also. Bechol drachecha da'ehu. Know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your ways. Even, in other words, even the neutral parts of my life, just the eating and sleeping and going to work and going to the gym, could also be Yediyas Hashem. Is it, doing neutral things is automatically a mitzvah? No. But what can make it a mitzvah? What's Ram say? Your kavana. If I just eat because I'm hungry, I sleep because I'm tired, nothing wrong with that, nothing right with that. But if I don't just eat because I'm hungry, but I spend a couple of moments considering the fact that by eating, I'm going to power mitzvahs, specific mitzvahs later. I go to sleep, and for 5 seconds, instead of just dropping in bed because I'm exhausted, which is fine, but neutral, I drop in bed, and I think about the fact that I'm going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to go to sleep, so that tomorrow I'll be awake for chesed, for davening, for learning. Tomorrow I'll be more calm with people because I'm getting some sleep tonight. V'chulu, v'chulu. Tomorrow, even if I don't particularly appreciate the Rebbe Shir, at least I won't be falling asleep. I'll be able to keep my eyes open. So at least be beram l'chaveru. I'll go to sleep now so I can be polite tomorrow. Whatever it is. Go to sleep now so I can learn my chavrusa. Whatever it is. So the Rambam says, if you do neutral activities with a kavana of how this is going to enable mitzvahs later on, the neutral activity itself becomes a mitzvah. Or as he quotes also, at the very end of the parak, he says, Mishnah Peredyavos, V'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. All your ma'asim, not just mitzvahs, all your ma'asim should be l'shem shamayim. Dafka l'shem shamayim. That has to be done with that right intent. In the Makaros Vitzum on the side of the Frankel Rambam, they tell you to look at the beginning of the Tosefta, Perek Dalet of Rachas. Also, so it talks about using your hands and panav yadav raglav. A person should use his hands, feet, and face l'shem kono. Interesting way to point it. And that's the introduction to the Tosefta's treatment of brachas on food. Or it gets into detail. What bracha do you make on this fruit, on that vegetable? The first thing you should know is everything is meant to be l'shem shemayim. Neutral activities. I think, l'chor, that's what that Gemara, another marker is that Gemara and Avodah Zarah. In other words, because what lies behind the Prescriptive analysis of the Gemara is, why does it matter what they intended? They did mitzvahs. Prescriptive hasn't really solved anything. Okay, so they didn't intend l'shem shemayim. So they did mitzvah shalol l'shma. La'olam yasek ha'im mitar mitzvahs afil shalol l'shma. Shemitah shalol l'shma ba'al l'shma. Mitzvahs shalol l'shma aren't as good as l'shma, but they're certainly mitzvahs. If I shook a lulav, if I learned the block in Mara, if I showed up to Shacharis, I put on tefillin, even if my intent was just, I didn't want to get in trouble, I want to get in with a firm crowd, or I want to get a prize, or whatever, I want to pray, whatever it is. But on my side, I did a mitzvah. Shalol l'shma, but still a mitzvah. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu hanging them? You did these mitzvahs, shalol l'shma. Okay, so they did mitzvahs, shalol l'shma. Is what? The answer is no. They weren't doing mitzvahs. They were doing neutral activities. So it could have been a mitzvah if it would have been the shema. If they would have, they were engaging in building a civilization. They were developing real estate. That's what it says, right? They built markets, which either means literally they built streets and stores, or I mean, in the modern sense, they built markets. They built an economy. They developed a great civilization. They developed hygiene. They built bathhouses and developed ideas of hygiene. And so on and so forth. They amassed money. I mean, literally, they became wealthy and they built an economy. So is that a mitzvah? Not necessarily. Isn't that avera? Also not necessarily. It's a neutral activity. They're building a society. Okay, you built a society. The Persians went to war. That's what the Gemara focuses on. They built bridges. They went to war. I want to be poetic. Building bridges, places, or it means literally, they built bridges, they developed infrastructure. That's very nice. It's not a mitzvah, it's not an aveira. It was a b'chol drachecha de'eil opportunity. So in Lasa Lava, they're going to realize that Lamaisa, what they did, moved the cause of Torah forward. Gevaldik. If they would have had that in mind, if they would have had the right kavana, they could have transformed their neutral activities into mitzvahs. But they didn't. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you fools. What a missed opportunity. It's true that you ended up moving Klal Yisrael forward. You ended up moving Torah forward. V'shul Yisrael she'esasku v'Torah. But if you were doing something neutral and you didn't have that in mind, so that's a missed, at best, a missed opportunity. Now, usually, we think about this idea of b'chol drachecha de'eihu in the sense of the examples I was giving you before. Physical activities. Eating, sleeping, going to the gym, going to work. Again, going to work is... you're a neurosurgeon who's directly improving and saving people's lives. So even without that's a mitzvah b'fin atzmo. Even if you don't have kavanah l'shma, even if kavanah is just I want to be a famous doctor, I want to make gobs of money, or you know I want to get published, whatever it is. Even if your kavanah is not I want to save people's lives, I want to enable people to be avdei Hashem, that's an outright mitzvah. Okay, but if your job is not an overt mitzvah. You still have that in mind. You have that kavana of how this, the work that you're doing, how it's impacting Avos Hashem, or the money that you're thereby making, how that's impacting your Avos Hashem, other people's Avos Hashem. So the kavana can be transformative. Those are the examples that he gives in Mishnah Torah, physical activities. And he starts with that. That's what we saw last time. But I want to take a look now. Is that one of the chidushim? It's always interesting learning the Shmona Prakin, which he wrote when he was younger, before the Mishnah Torah. He's more conversational here, and something he develops things more. Take a look at page Reishma and Beis. Again, if you don't have your own packet, you have one now. In the middle of page Reishma and Beis, he says it's not only about physical activities. It's not only eating and sleeping. And exercising and going to work, v'chulu, 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 relaxing with friends, can be either neutral or avodas Hashem, depending on your kavana. And he goes on to say, as we saw last time, if you're being genuine about your kavana, it is going to change the way you choices that you make. If you're eating primarily to move your life forward, to move avodas Hashem forward, you're going to eat differently. You're going to make different choices about how much is the main course and how much is dessert. Okay.
But then he says, it's not just about physical activities. Near the end of Resh Mem Beis. The work of the mind also. You go to school,
or you don't go to school. Learning things doesn't have to happen just in school. It happens to be, you're in school. If the curriculum suits you, you may learn things you're interested in learning, but you can learn things you want to learn even if it's not in school. So you're learning something, you're reading something, you're using your brain. There could be some sort of uses of your brain are overtly mitzvahs. Limud HaTorah is overtly a mitzvah. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Yesod HaTorah, Perek Beis, that studying biology and chemistry is a direct, with open eyes, is a powerful tool to know and love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Biology, chemistry, astronomy, he sees those as direct tools for Avos Hashem. So there are limudim, uses of your brain that overtly mitzvahs. There are uses of your brain that are overtly averus. So a person studies shmutz, a person studies avodah zarah when it's not lahavin ulaharos. So that's elosu surecha v'avchan v'achreinechem atifner alilim. Okay, so there are uses as with physical behaviors, intellectual also. There are things overtly mitzvahs and things overtly averus. How about everything in between? So he says, there's Becholdra Hechadayu there as well, and he gives you three categories. Eilu mehen shein derech l'tachos ahi, eimal adaber b'hen. He says, something that directly leads you to Yediyas Hashem, Limud HaTorah. The Rambam would include under that category philosophy and biology and chemistry and astronomy, eimal adaber b'hen. We don't need to discuss Becholdra Hechadayu if you open a block Gemara, that lishma shalom lishma, that's a mitzvah. Something else. So what is he talking about? Interesting to see the way he categorized knowledge. Takes you back almost 900 years. She'elos ha, what's the next word?
Algebra.
Algebra, exactly. She'elos ha algebra. Algebra. The Sefer Chasachei HaCharut, Tachbulos. Rav Shela in the bottom explains to you what's going on here. We're probably talking about geometry. Ribui b'she'elos ha-handasa, m'shichas ha-mishkolim.
Physics, mechanics, engineering. Math and physics, in other words. We would call math and physics. Harbe keyotze b'zeh. So, is it a mitzvah, learning math? Well, what's the mitzvah, learning math? Is it not avera? And what's avera? So it's neutral. So where is the B'chol Drachecha value opportunity in that? He says, so besides that, okay, you could learn math and become an actuary and support your family and do good things with that money. It's one approach. What else? And much of physics nowadays is at least as direct a route towards seeing the flows habore in the Bria as biology and chemistry. Physics is very different. He's talking about Mashiachas HaMishkalim. It's like they're like the first or second week of a physics lab where you're playing with balance scales and counterbalancing. Not necessarily very exciting. I don't necessarily feel overwhelmed by the wonder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. Where's the value in that? Well, Tiyah Kavana, but you know what Kavana you can have? Chidud HaSeichel, sharpening your mind. Hergil HaKoch HaSichli B'Darchei HaMofes. Gain your mind used to thinking in a rational fashion. Step-by-step reasoning, proving things. You spend time in 10th grade, one of the goals of the way geometry was, and I hope still is traditionally taught, is it's an opportunity also to learn proofs. Here's your hanacha, here's another hanacha, one leads to the next, opportunity to actually train yourself to think logically. And, actually, yusag la'adam kinyin yediyas ahekesh hamosi mizulaso. So through learning algebra, through learning geometry, through learning physics, so you develop a more honed mind. You develop a greater ability to think through things rationally, to think about what are my hanachas and how does A prove B, does A indicate B. If you'll have a more finely honed mind,
the more you develop your ability to think logically, to think rationally, that you can use that in Yedias Hashem. You can use that in learning, use that in Emunah. So he says that's one area of neutral knowledge, which if you just learn algebra, geometry, because, so it's not a vera, it's not a mitzvah. But if you approach it with the attitude that here's an opportunity to sharpen my mind, and then I can use that sharp mind for Avos Hashem, you just transformed the hours of studying geometry into pure mitzvahs. Another example, maybe, is chess. That's what they write in the biographies of Yaakov Kamenetsky. That pictures. There's a fantastic picture in Camp Oshraga in the summer of two guys sitting on the classic camp bench with the table and the bench, everything connected, on the grass underneath the tree. Every camp has that. I remember those benches in Oshraga facing the road. So they have a picture of two guys sitting on a bench, Ben Astarim, playing chess. Kamenetsky is standing behind them watching them play with like this, his Yaakov smile on his face. And that too. If I was just going to play chess just because I want to play chess, not an aveira, not a mitzvah, just neutral. But if I see it as an opportunity, an enjoyable way to sharpen my mind, and I recognize that this is enjoyable, something I enjoy, it's something I find relaxing, and it's going to hold my mind in ways that I can then use for directive of Hashem, I just transformed that into the chess itself. Was transformed into Avos Hashem. That's category number one. The math and the physics, I would say the chess, that sharpens the mind. Yeah.
If let's say a person is doing it not because it's sharpening the mind, whatever, so what would classify doing things like this?
Okay, good. So let's see the first all three categories first. Good. We're coming to other things soon. So that's category number one. Category number two. And again, we'll read the Rambam says, and then we could think about, just like we do with the first category, we sort of rephrase it in our terminology, math, physics, chess. Let's take a look at the second category, we'll see how we would call it in our terminology. V'chein di the very bottom reish and beis. Category two, of neutral chachma, neutral mada. V'chein di puri ha'adam kula. People's conversations. Ein tzarech she'idabrem ma'ashi yavei ba'otro el sanafshav. Ideally, your conversations should involve things that benefit you in some way, benefit your nefesh in particular. Oh, yitcha hezik minavsho migufo, or protect your nefesh, or protect your guf. Practical conversations. I want to make sure that I keep my house well, and I keep the car well, and stay healthy, okay? And things that grow your nefesh, the things that grow your midos. Oh, b'chachma, oh, b'mayla, practical knowledge, or about midos, or b'shevach maila, or meula, or conversation. I would suggest reading as well, that praises, that moves forward either a particular midah tova or a person who is a virtuous person. Or b'gnus p'chisus, or p'chus, or conversation, whether verbal or in writing, reading. That either that demonstrates the negatives of a particular bad midah or the negatives of a particular person who is an exemplar of a bad midah. Here says something important. Putting this something that demonstrates the negativity of a negative person, how that's how his midos rose or something you want to stay away from. If the goal is not just wow, that's fascinating, but there's something to be learned, there's value to role models, there's value to positive role models, you see how you want to be, I want to be like him, there's value to negative role models, as in, I don't want to be that. That's who I don't want to be, and here's why. You see how a life that's built on Midos Rose unravels, so that's powerful. That's very, very powerful. That's incredibly valuable. He says the Chumash does it. The Chumash tells us stories of Rishon. Kamaisa Eretz Mitzrayim, Kamaisa Eretz Canaan. There it's direct. The Chumash says, don't be like the Mitzrayim. Don't be like the Canaan. And then you have it without the direct editorializing. Sipur HaSodomim. I said, why does the Torah tell us so much about Sodom? Interesting question.
Why does a Chumash tell so much about stone? So I would have thought you want to hear about how Avraham Avinu reacts. And you want to understand what happens to Lot. Yeah, you want to understand what happens to Lot. You want to see how things play out with the people of Sodom. It's both seeing role models of who you do want to be like and how you want to be like them, and whom you don't want to be like and how you don't want to be like them. Throughout Tanakh, there's plenty about unsavory people whom you don't want to be like, and there's plenty about sublime people, shavach hatovim, v'hagdalasam, an appreciation of great people, appreciation of tzaddikim, appreciation of tamei chacham, appreciation of balei midos tovos. Hakavana bo k'mod mashu zecharti lach. Said a useful kavana is what I mentioned. Sheyelchu b'nei adam b'derech elu v'yitzrachu b'derech ha'im. To have an appreciation. Sometimes we could talk in abstract about the importance of being a humble person. We could talk in abstract about the importance of being kind and being calm and not having a short fused temper. But often, as we all know, it's much more powerful to hear a story of someone like, wow, like that's incredible. Look how they handle a situation. And I could talk about, we could talk about it. It's important when you have a difficult situation, don't just jump in. Think carefully what you want to do. But if I actually do that, if I actually tell you a maysa, like I spoke told a couple weeks ago, of the Rav of Furt and how he handled the department store that went that left Shmir Shabbos, and how he handled it with incredible grace, that story is going to stick with a person much more than just an abstract conversation where it's important to think before you act. In other words, category two is literature. Stories about people. Stories about good people, stories about bad people. He doesn't say that all literature is useful. He doesn't say that reading all literature is valuable. But what he does say is if you're discussing or reading stories about good people or stories about bad people, that will enable me to absorb midos tovos more effectively. That will enable me to avoid midos rovos more effectively. It'll enable me a twist. I once heard from Rabbi Lichtenstein, literature that will enable me to understand human nature with more nuance, to understand what makes people tick. Not only as Rambam says, it'll inspire me to want to pick up certain midos tovos, and it'll alert me to avoid certain subtle midos rovos, but also I'll understand people more so that I can do mitzvahs v'amal chaveiro more effectively. So I can interact with other people with greater nuance and greater effectiveness and take care of the needs of people around me, the emotional needs, and give tochacha more effectively. Yeah. So if reading literature will train me to understand people more and will train me to appreciate proper midos more, so that's category number two. Then, category number one was math, physics, and chess. If the kavana is, it sharpens my mind in ways that I can use in direct avos Hashem. Category number two, literature. Stories about people, good people, bad people, that will train me to appreciate, to notice midos tovos, midos rovos, to understand human nature, so that I can use that in my avos Hashem. And finally, number three, he introduces the third category in a backhanded sort of way. And here he comes a little bit to Zev's point. He says, if my kavan, just like we said that with physical activities, with eating, with sleeping, with going to work, with going to the gym, with hanging out, all that, if my kavana is actually l'shem shamayim, it's going to, if I'm authentic, if I'm real about that, obviously it's going to change some of the details of how much time I spend and what sorts of things I do. So he says it's going to be true as well for the life of the mind. Once I'm beginning to train my kavanos in this direction, I'm going to begin, as I become more mindful, he says in the next paragraph, this is a very, very high and difficult madriga. To be 100% on board with this, that's like, the work of a lifetime. But step by step, month by month, year by year, I can grow gradually into more and more of this. And as I gradually become more of a mechavin l'shem shamayim, so I'm going to gradually change you know, what I'm reading and how I'm reading and what I talk about, I will, to use the terminology of Eleanor Roosevelt, I'll be less of a small mind who's discussing people. I'll grow into more of an average mind who discusses events, and hopefully into a great mind who discusses ideas. As a person becomes increasingly attached to this kavana, that I'm doing things l'shem Hashem, I'm not going to be inspired to coat the walls of my house with gold. I'm not going to need gold embroidery and gold monogramming on my shirts. Unless the goal is to have a little more achavas hadas, to have a little more headspace. How do you mean? Kadesha tavri, to have a healthier mind, to have a healthier emotional life. You go rash chol yomimena, achetia behira vizaka l'kabal achachmas. Sometimes I'm feeling down, sometimes I'm just feeling blah. I need to relax, I need more headspace. I need, he says, beauty, to bring beauty into my life. He quotes a Gemara in the bottom, Masach HaShabbos, Masach HaBrachos. It's slightly different gears than that we have. Marchivin Daito Shal Olam, the Marchivin Daito Shal Adam. Says, Nefesh Til Eh, Machshava Te'acher. Over time, your mind gets tired, your mind and Nefesh get tired. You're constantly using your mind. If you were studying hard for finals, most people can't go for hours on end. And after a while, you need a break. If a bachar is Baruch Hashem, learning hard in the base medrash, and you're seeking to increase your asmada, yes, you hit a point in which you need to take a break. Working hard for too long, you just like when your muscles work hard for too long, you go on a biking trip. Anyone here went shalom and welcome? I don't know if anyone went with Mr. Strago on Friday. Biking the Hudson. If you bike the Hudson, say when you do long scale biking, so the minute usually is every hour you stop for 10 minutes. And that's a pretty common ratio. Stop for more than 10 minutes already, so your body cools down. And you have to get back in. But to stop for less than 5-10 minutes. You get worn out. You need to, your body needs to relax. If you do interval workouts, that downtime is key. The downtime is key in order to push forward high intensity. You need to have a good balance of intensity and relaxation. So he says that's the breaks, the relaxation is going to help to move the hard work forward. And he says it's beferish. Kemoshi yisa'ef haguf b'saska v'lachas hamiyagos. If your body is working hard, every once in a while you got to take a break. You need to relax, let the lactic acid flow out of your muscles, and recharge your batteries. Then you're back to balance. The same is true with your mind and with your heart. Your mind also needs to relax. To have a relaxation of the senses. His talk is b'tziyurim b'dvarim hanan. Get into nature. You appreciate beauty. So we, if the first category was math and physics and chess, and the second category is literature, the third category is art and beauty. And the ability of engaging beauty to rehabilitate your mind. The Rambam is definitely a little bit hesitant about the value of art. Even though he goes on to quote a Gemara in Brachas, Ki chal sh'abon migirso, and Chazal were wiped out from learning, they would go do something else to relax, to regain their strength. He says, Karov ha'davar shazel fin layu elu ros. He had opened his discussion about beauty by saying, if you're a mechav l'shem shemayim, why are you getting hung up on this? He says, but look, it depends if you deploy it. Stam, if beauty becomes an end in of itself, and specifically luxury, I just want to have, as he said, the gilded house, the gilded clothing, and we have other styles nowadays. If I just want beauty, and specifically manufactured beauty, for its own sake, to flaunt my wealth, that's not expressing that one is a mechavin l'shem shemayim. But he says, the search, the yearning for beauty can be deployed well. If I'm doing it with as part of a larger program, Vos Hashem, with the clarity about how these are my breaks, engaging natural beauty, or engaging art, synthetic, a beautiful painting. If it's purposeful, if it's enabling a life of Vos Hashem, enable a life of hard work, L'man Hashem, since then he thinks it's likely nothing wrong with that. Not Pulis Havel, it's not meaningless. Retori Loma, his Oris, Lasias HaPituchim, Kishutim, Babinyanim, Vakelim, Vabagad. So it says that the striving for beauty, natural beauty, or even beauty in one's own life, beauty in one's own furnishing, beauty in one's own home, so the question is, what's your kavana? It's time because you have to keep up with the Joneses. So that's not expressive of spiritual ambition. But if I want to live a dignified life, I want my kids to feel a sense of self-esteem, and I want to have a pleasant home so that I can have a pleasant head, so that my mind is clear, a balanced life, so that I can be ambitious of Avos Hashem. Mama says, you're doing that in the thoughtful way, there too. So here's three different areas of what are offhand neutral, if that mental activity. There's the math, the physics, the chess, there's the literature, and there's the art and beauty. And he says, each one of them, so I have to, they're not automatically holy. They're not automatically unholy. Just because it's Torah Ma'ad doesn't make it a mitzvah. Just because it's Torah Ma'ad doesn't make it an Avera. If it's Ma'ad L'Shem Torah, if it's Ma'ad L'Shem Avos Hashem, generally, if it's, as going back to the Gemara Avodah Zarah, which we began, if it's Bishvili Yisrael She'is Asku B'Torah, if it's moving an ambitious program in Avos Hashem forward, and I have an appreciation of genuinely how and why, then all these neutral activities that are mind sharpening, that train me to appreciate people and mitos more, the art and the beauty and the relaxation, that in the right ratio, in the right proportion, enables me to be a calm, refreshed Eved Hashem who can strive forward in ambitious ways. Yes, yeah. And then those otherwise neutral activities become a chelak. They themselves become an Avos Hashem. They themselves are transformed to mitzvahs. And then he goes on to close up the parak. We said before, you see the very next line. The madreig el yona v'kashav lo yasugu elamad. To be fully everything on Shem Shamayim, that's a rare accomplishment. In other words, don't beat yourself up. Here I am, I'm already 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. I'm not yet mechavan kul l'shem shamayim. That's an absurd goal. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but I can start moving that direction today and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. You understand that hitting 100%, he says, few people make it to 100%, and that's with a lot of work. He says, understand, and lest you think that I'm just trying to pat you on the back here, he says, when you find a person who's kulo l'shem shamayim, every single waking moment, or even sleeping moments, but every single neutral activity is kulo l'shem shamayim, lo omar shehu l'mata ben hanaviyim. Rabbi says, I would not say that such a person is on a lower level than a navi. Okay, so this madrega of being kulo l'shem shamayim, if you could be zochet to be that, you're kemat rubbing shoulders with Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Maybe not Yeshaya, maybe not Shmuel. But at least, I don't know, we don't know how to rank them, but at least the most recent of the Naveen. That's, wow! Wow! Says, okay, so Rama says, I mean this seriously. This is a high madrega. To be 100%, that's a high madrega. Halavai. But to move in that direction, that's normative. To seek as much as possible, over time, to relax, in a non-anxious fashion, to gradually take pieces of my life and inject a kavanah l'shem shamayim, he says, that is normative. He says in the bottom, v'ahavta l'shem elokecha, all that goes back to chumash, not just mishle. V'ahavta l'shem elokecha, we say it every day in Krishna. To love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol modecha, b'chol chayki nafshecha. Everything going on inside needs to ultimately be an expression of Avos Hashem. He goes on to say on the last page, yeah. As we spoke about before, kol drachecha de'ehu. Interesting, he introduces that pasuk in Mishle with the term neviim.
seems like he's assuming that Shlomo is a Navi. And he says at the very end, see, he quotes at the very end of the parak, the Mishnah, which he also quotes at the very end of parak Gimel, Hilchos Deos, V'chol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'Shem Shemayim. This is a powerful, powerful idea. This is transformative. It appears in Shulchan Aruch. I think it's Siman Reish Lamed Aleph, or Aruch Chaim, is a bad B'chol Dorei HaDeos, is a real din. And L'chora, for most people, during most of one's life, it is the Siman in Shulchan Aruch that applies more of your day, more of your week than any other. No, because this is mamash relevant. For most people, during most years of their lives, most of their 24 hours is spent on neutral activities. Hopefully not on Divrei Avera, but for most people, for most years of their lives, they're not spending most of the 168 hours a week on overt Divrei Mitzvah. Some people do. Most people don't. So for most people, rove of your life is b'chol drachecha de'eyu territory. I'll leave you with this. A vart from Rabbi Tversky, Shalita. He once pointed out, in thinking about this concept, this mitzvah, b'chol drachecha de'eyu, avos Hashem, avos Hashem akal b'chol dalecha nafshecha. So he said, just to bring it home, consider the following. Consider two people. We'll pick names you don't have in this room. Anyone here named Dud? Asher? No one here have a middle name Asher? Okay. Imagine Dud and Asher. Imagine Dud and Asher, you put their daily, weekly schedule side by side. You put it on the board, side by side, and then you can look at their schedule. It happens to be the Gemara Brothers there, they're all spoken about the Gemara Brothers schedule. So it's a relevant sushla. So imagine God and Asher, you put the schedule on the board, and have a board behind you also. Maybe we'll use it later today. You put the schedule up on the board, and you know, they're spending around the same amount of time, same number of hours per day per week, eating, same number of hours per day per week, sleeping, learning, davening, time with family, time at work, commuting, time with friends, playing ball, playing tennis, whatever it is. Their breakdown of their schedule is basically identical. Gad and Asher spend a lot of time doing all the different things in their lives. And yet, Gad is Oved Hashem 3-4 hours a day. Asher is Oved Hashem 24 hours a day. Because Gad was doing all the neutral. He was, when he davened, he was davening. When he learned, he was learning. When he was giving staka, when he was, you know, spending time making someone else feel good. When he called mom on the phone, okay, when he was doing overt Divrei Mitzvah, he was doing Divrei Mitzvah. But the other 20 hours a day, neutral. Asher was doing all the same things, but Asher had Kavan L'Shem Shamayim. So all of a sudden, Asher was spending 168 hours a week on Avos Hashem, instead of 20 hours a week on Avos Hashem. Over the course of 50 years, that's staggering. This is a transformative idea. So as Rambam said, to think that tomorrow I'm going to be at 100%, that's not a reasonable goal. It's an unreasonable goal. But to say that over that I'm going to begin to adopt it more and more, and over time it's going to become more and more a part of my thinking. It's going to obviously change the way I make decisions. It's going to change the way I go about eating, sleeping, going to work, and beyond that. Even the time that I'm spending the same as I would have otherwise, but all those neutral activities became Avos Hashem. I'm filling my life all day long. I'm living with that Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is a profound, profound, profound idea. Richard, next time we'll pick up with the sixth parak, which the Rambam begins to explore questions of Yetzer Hara. We spoke about this a little bit outside earlier. We'll have a chance to dig in. And